happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
Happy Halloween. do you want a trick or a treat this week? You're going to get both.
We are.
Starting off with a Republican U.S. House member who was knocked off of Twitter for his hostility and rudeness to transgender people.
And we have more on the protest of Netflix over its platforming of anti-trans hate, as Dave Chappelle piles on.
Yet another beloved Catholic school teacher was ousted by his bishop for being gay.
These teachers who've been thrown out of Catholic schools, they could start their own school by this point.
Yeah.
We have, unfortunately, more stories of deadly anti-LGBT violence and same-sex domestic violence.
In California, a pioneering lesbian couple was inducted into the State Hall of Fame.
And those wacky Anglicans are up to it again. The Anglican bishops of Ghana are pushing for passage of that draconian anti-LGBTQ bill.
I'll say this carefully. The only active gay male pro soccer player in the world has come out publicly.
Yeah, but he's not the first. And what about all the women? What about all the women? Do we do nothing?
Why is it so much harder on men?
Well, that's a whole other conversation. We can have that later if you'd like. Andy and I are back on Broadway. We actually have gone to the theater. So because of that, we can review this week the newest incarnation of the Lehman Trilogy and Is This a Room?
And you'll remember how Terrence McNally, the great openly gay playwright, died at the beginning of the COVID pandemic in the United States. Well, they're finally going to have a memorial service for him on November 1st, and it's open to the public.
So before we get to the nasty congressman on Twitter, let's thank the Biden administration for doing one thing right in the midst of their fumpering about bills. They honored Intersex Awareness Week this week, or Intersex Awareness Day. We have there's the flag that celebrates it. And in doing so, the State Department announced that it will now offer X gender markers on passports. You don't have to declare yourself male or female. You can ask for an X gender marker. And they made this announcement by officially giving the first of these passports with an X marker to the longtime intersex activist, Dana Zim, who has been fighting this fight for years for acknowledgement as non-binary and intersex. And Dana has officially received their passport with an X gender marker. Everyone else can start applying, but the next ones will be handed out starting next year, a couple of months from now.
And the State Department, you know, tweeted that they recognize the voices of intersex people around the world and their rights. They link to information about intersex on their website. They noted that 1 in 2,000 people are intersex, and many don't know it until adulthood. The UN has denounced non-consensual cosmetic genital surgery, which remains common for intersex youth in the United States. Now, you know, while Republican laws call surgery for trans people in the U.S. mutilation, that concern does not extend to cosmetic genital surgery for intersex youth. So much for God created them that way.
And, you know, cosmetic surgery may be the appropriate term, but what we're really talking about is very arbitrary sex assignment surgery, non-consensual sex assignment surgery, where a baby is born with anomalous genitalia, ambiguous genitalia, some would say, and the doctor, with or without consultation with parents, but none with the baby, makes a decision to perform some surgery that will automatically assign a sexual identity to that child. And then the child grows up and says, wait a minute, that's not who I am. And meanwhile, they've done all this without their consent.
Also from the Biden administration this week, he nominated Gigi Sohn, S-O-H-N, a longtime consumer advocate, as an FCC commissioner. Now, he wanted her for the chair, but the industry balked heavily at that.
She is an out lesbian. She has been an activist on FCC issues and worked as a staff member for the FCC for a long time and then went off and did other stuff. Very, very highly regarded in the field and should not have any trouble getting confirmed, although what gets done in Washington these days?
Well, speaking of Washington, the Supreme Court, on their way to overturning Roe v. Wade, once again refused to issue an injunction versus Texas. This is anti-abortion law. But they will hear the Justice Department's case about it on November 1st. But they also want to, they're going to hear the Mississippi law, what, I think in December 1st, something like that, which is limiting abortion to 15 weeks. So they're on their way. They're not defending Roe at the court.
And there was a scary little article this week, an interview with a marriage equality lawyer who said, don't think that's safe. All they have to do is bring a case, and this Supreme Court could overturn that right to same-sex marriage in a heartbeat.
There are Texas Republicans already asserting our state law on marriage trumps, what, pardon the expression, whatever the Supreme Court says or does about it. They sound like Poland and standing up to the EU or something.
Well, they're right on the one hand in that marriage rules have always been a state purview, but the whole point of the marriage equality case, Obergefell, and before that, Edie Windsor's case about the Defense of Marriage Act, is that you can set your own rules state by state, but you cannot violate the U.S. Constitution in doing so. And what those cases said was that to deny same-sex couples the right to marriage violates the U.S. Constitution guarantees of equal protection and due process. So those Texas people are right on the one hand about their right to pass laws, but they are not allowed to pass laws that are unconstitutional, and, which is exactly the issue in the abortion case, too.
And the wicked governor of Texas, Abbott, signed that anti-trans law in sports and the law about and the big gerrymander of the congressional districts, which are likely to be a disaster for Democrats in 2022.
And in signing the No Trans in Sports bill, he has now provoked an enormous rise in calls to suicide hotlines in reaction to that. Because he also, in signing the bill, said, I am going to stay on this anti-trans crusade in every upcoming session of the legislature.
Until I get through my Republican primary next year, basically, is what he was saying. And because he's got people running against him from the right.
And evidently that's all that matters these days.
I read this long article about, how Texas is booming and all these people are down there in Austin, many of them with liberal sensibilities. And, no, we don't like this anti-trans stuff. And we don't like the voter suppression, but it's a nice place to live and the taxes are low. So these are people's priorities. We're not.
Well, the LPGA now with Chevron sponsoring their big major tournament, the Dinosaur tournament, they're moving it from Palm Springs to Houston, the home of Chevron.
Take it away from the lesbians for their big party?
I suspect the lesbian parties will continue in Palm Springs, but how can the LPGA affirmatively move to Texas in these times just because the Chevron oil company is willing to sponsor their tournament?
All right. Meanwhile, some district attorneys from liberal cities in these red states are vowing not to prosecute under laws against marijuana, abortion, distributing water to voters, all those kind of voter, you know, those kinds of things. They're just saying, we're not going to prosecute these laws. We have prosecutorial discretion, and we're not doing it.
But the laws will intimidate people. The prosecutors can say, don't worry, we won't prosecute you if you hand a glass of water to someone standing in line. But with those laws on the books, it gives the right wing the opportunity to intimidate voters.
Let's turn it over to vigilantes, as they have with the abortion law.
I think we already have. Meanwhile, footnote to the marriage equality discussion. It turns out the State Department had a rule, or has a rule, forbidding, probably from the Trump administration, but I think it actually came up in the Obama administration, correct me if I'm wrong, that forbids embassies around the world from discussing marriage equality with other countries. So activists are now, and congressional representatives are on the backs of the State Department saying, hey, come on, it's time to repeal this rule.
Now, they're not saying do it in Saudi Arabia. They're saying in countries, especially where it's a close issue, like Japan, do feel free now to speak out. You should be able to be free to speak out about it.
Perhaps in Central and South America, where the Inter-American Court on Human Rights has mandated marriage equality in all those countries. We'll get to more of that later.
All right, let's go to Netflix for the
third week. Don't we have to get to Representative Jim Banks first?
I skipped over him. There he is. Yes. Okay, sorry. So Jim Banks is a representative from Indiana, Republican. He had his Twitter account suspended for misgendering Admiral Rachel Levine there of the Public Health Service, who is transgender. He had written, the title of the first female four-star officer gets taken by a man. Twitter bars hateful conduct, including on the basis of gender identity. Banks went on to say the praise for Levine is an insult to every little girl who dreams of breaking glass ceilings one day. He's not backing down. He says he was stating a fact, something Republicans, of course, in most cases, are extremely loath to recognize.
He also says that he will continue to use his personal Twitter account. Evidently, it's his congressional Twitter account that has been suspended.
Oh, and that is a segue into the whole Netflix thing, which is over transgender humanity and rights. Dozens of staff walked off the job last Wednesday and to protest this. Now, Chappelle then steps in another routine, throwing fuel on the fire. He told his audience, I'm not bending to anybody's demands, says he will only meet with trans people on his terms at a time and place of his choosing. Such a welcoming opening there. Now, he's very angry that he's being uninvited to film festivals, and distributors are balking at picking up his documentary Untitled about his own grappling with the killing of George Floyd. So he's going to take it on the road himself. But he ought to understand, when you set yourself up as an opponent of injustice, as I'm sure he does in the film Untitled, that you're going to be taken less seriously and resented if you engage in open bigotry against another group.
And you know who's supporting him?
I did read it. Who was it?
Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh, wow. 100%.
Trans woman.
Well. All right.
So, moving on.
Diocese of Brooklyn.
Yes. So yet again, a St. Joseph's Catholic Academy, a Catholic school in Brooklyn.
Astoria, Queens, actually, but that's part of the diocese.
Yes, you're
part
right.
of the Diocese of Brooklyn.
You're right. The diocese, the leadership of the diocese, has fired a music teacher and music director of a nearby church, Matthew LaBanca. Why?
They struggled over this for like 6 weeks or something because somebody ratted him out for marrying a man.
He married Rowan Meyer. Now that's Matthew on the right, who is the teacher who's been fired, and his husband Rowan Meyer. But let's let Matthew explain this to you.
Hi, I'm Matthew. Some of you might know me as Mr. Matt or Mr. LaBanca. I used to work at St. Joseph Catholic Academy as a music teacher. I used to work at Corpus Christi Church as the music director, but on October 13th of this year, I was fired from both positions simultaneously. Why? Because someone from one of these communities reached out directly to the Diocese of Brooklyn, my ultimate employer, with information about my wedding day to my husband, Rowan, on August 1st of this year, which was the most beautiful day of my life, in an apparent act of righteousness. And therefore, a diocesan committee of high-ranking officials met for almost 6 weeks, something unheard of, to discuss the fate of my employment and to answer the question, should Matthew be allowed to remain at his jobs? The answer turned out to be no. Now, this is illegal in the state of New York, but the First Amendment says that a religious institution is allowed to legally discriminate. But just because something is legal doesn't make it right. You deserve to know that my principal at my school was my fiercest advocate. He wanted me to stay at my positions, but ultimately the decision was out of his hands. Ultimately, this decision to fire me was made by Bishop DiMarzio. I was offered a severance package with a gag order that was almost 10 pages long, 10 pages, which is a lot of ways to say, shut up, don't talk about this. Obviously, I have not signed it because I realized that no price could be placed on my personal integrity, on my voice. And maybe you don't get this, but I have a feeling that maybe some of you do. So I'm stripped of both of my jobs, all of my employment, my health insurance, and most importantly, stripped of the communities, the daily community life that has meant so much to me. Not because of my work performances, not in the slightest, but because I'm gay. I love you all so much. I miss you. I've been missing you. And I'm sorry that this is so sad, but I'll be following up with more videos, more messages. I am still your friend. I'm still your colleague. I will always have been your teacher. And of course, I'm still your neighbor. And I hope that I'll be seeing you. And I hope that you'll be on the lookout for me, too. And when you see me, you'll offer a wave or a smile or a gesture of support. You will always be in my hearts. Bye-bye for now.
Very brave and very moving.
Hope he gets a new job.
Well, this is not surprising coming from Bishop DiMarzio, who banned lawmakers who voted for same-sex marriage in New York in 2011 from appearing at churches and schools just to give speeches or presentations. The diocese says LaBanca must exemplify by his public conduct Catholic doctrine and morality. The hatefulness of DiMarzio's morality is just unbelievable. Danny Drum, who's an out city council member in Queens, said that he's disgusted by DiMarzio and says the bishop is not representative of the way Catholics feel. But here's the thing. Where are all, you know, they really need to turn out for this guy. They need to, out of the pews. I mean, everybody marched. We've heard about kids doing that from schools, but the people in the parishes as well. And where's the union of music directors, most of whom are gay, you know, banding together and saying, if you do this to him, you're doing it to us. You ain't going to have any music in your church.
Well, that's the thing. I think they need to march not only in the streets, but they need to march out of the schools and out of the churches. The church is quite adamant about its refusal to budge an inch on this. And fine, leave the church, leave the schools, leave them to their hatred and their ignorance and their bigotry. I don't see them changing anytime in the future.
They have to leave the country someday, the way things are going.
I'm not oblivious to that. Meanwhile, in Hillsboro, Ohio, at Hillsboro High School, they were planning, they rehearsed and were preparing a play called She Kills Monsters, which is evidently performed all over the place by a playwright named Ki Nguyen. And someone complained, a minister in the community complained that the play was anti-biblical because there was a hint that one of the characters was gay. And the school canceled the play.
This is a public school too, huh?
Yes. This is not a Catholic school.
Well, okay, let's go to suburban Houston when the Magnolia Independent School.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt, but just before we get there, I just want to alert people to the fact that Campus Pride has published a list of the 180 worst colleges, let alone these high schools. Most of them are religious colleges, the worst colleges for LGBTQ people. And much as I like their annual list of the best colleges, I think it's really important that people who are researching going to college and considering where to apply, look at this list of worst colleges so that you do not end up stuck at a place that is going to treat you like we have just heard the Catholic high school treats people. Because we've heard these stories out of these religious colleges, evangelical colleges, Catholic colleges, and others. Look at that Campus Pride worst colleges list.
Well, there was a terrific expose in ProPublica of Liberty University. Not surprised. We know how anti-gay they are. But yeah. when women report sexual abuse, rape, they are clamped down on. They saying, you were drinking? That's against our rules. You're going to have to sign this. You may be jeopardizing your scholarship, etc. It's a long article. It's completely damning. The communications director of Liberty over it and is speaking out about how much they covered it up. And, you know, they get $800 million in aid to their students from the federal government every year. They're supposed to comply with all of the Title IX requirements for handling these complaints, and they don't.
Well, as Matthew LaBanca points out, all of this is against the law, but there are religious exemptions, and that's what they...
Well, no, it's not religious exemption to... there is not a... No, there's not a religious exemption to those kinds of reports. The religious exemption is not a blanket exemption. You have to say the person is a minister, and they can say that Matthew is a minister because he's the music director. And it's,
for employment, yes, but... But the point is, these schools will fight any attempt to make them change their ways, and that can go on for years and years and years.
Now let's go to suburban Houston.
Yes, Magnolia, Texas.
Yes, the independent school district. They require boys to have clean, well-groomed hair worn out of the eyes. You have to have a natural hair color, no beards, mustaches, long sideburns, or ponytails. No hair below the bottom of the ear. These were the rules at my boys' Catholic school in 1968, and we were contesting that back then.
This is a public school.
Yeah. six boys and one non-binary student were suspended over this. So the ACLU is suing. It's a violation of their constitutional rights and Title IX that forbids sex discrimination in school. But wait for it. There are 500 public school districts in the state with similar policies. Girls with long hair are not disciplined. The district says this is reflective of our community values. The non-binary student is only, by the way, I don't think this is the non-binary student, but the non-binary student is only recognized as a male within the school.
Now, the non-binary student has very long hair, very well-groomed long hair, but this is also a racist policy that is meant to stop black kids from having dreadlocks. It is a heinous policy, and it's unbelievable that public schools get away with this. So I'm thrilled that the ACLU is suing, and I certainly hope they succeed in that.
We get to our crime. How about the gay cop?
The gay cop in California was a member of the California Highway Patrol. He sued because he was harassed for years and years and years. Jay Brome, relentless harassment. People, fag bashing him. When he went on calls, he would get no backup. He'd call for backup. No one would show up. So he sued, and he has just gotten a settlement of $2.2 million.
And he was Officer of the Year at one point. He was so good, and they wouldn't put his picture up with the other officers of the year.
Right. Okay. Now we get into the violence portion of the program.
Starting in Washington D.C., a gay man, Antonio Zephyr, 51, there he is, was beaten by neighbors, a woman, her daughter, and someone they think was the daughter's father, hurling anti-gay and anti-Semitic slurs on October 13th. He's seeking a restraining order against Orlora Ellis, saying she's acted hostilely towards him for months before the assault. He tried to defend himself during the assault. Police are investigating it as a potential hate crime, but are taking their time about arresting anybody. He was diagnosed with a fractured nose, of the bone surrounding the eye, a hemorrhage of the other eye, and he's worried that she has a gun.
Well, in Woolwich Township, New Jersey, Christian Smith did have a gun. And he went to a family party, and he was offended that his stepfather allowed a gay man who was a friend of the family to show up as a guest at the party. Now, Christian evidently portrays himself as very religious, but what was his reaction to the gay guest at the party? He reaches into the back of his waistband, pulls out a gun that he has there, very biblical, I guess. His mother is trying to get between him and his stepfather, but he manages to reach over her and shoot his stepfather three times dead.
His lawyers try to say it was an accident. Three times. He announced before he did this, "This is a house of God." I mean, country.
We are speechless. We are really speechless.
However, the mother argued for bail, but the judge denied it.
And then a really horrible, sad story. South Hadley, Mass. This is a shocker. So you have two professors at Mount Holyoke College, where my grandmother and my aunt went to school. On the left is Ree Hachiyama Yamanagi. Ree had quite the crush on Professor Laurette Savoy on the right. Ree broke into Laurette's home and lay in wait for her. And when Laurette came home, Ree announced that she was attracted to Laurette. Laurette should have known this. Ree is angry at her, and she proceeds to assault her for 4 hours with a fire poker, a rock, pruning shears, Lorette ends up with broken bones, stab wounds, significant blood loss, and is alive only because she talked Ree into stopping the assault by saying, oh, you're right, and yes, I have feelings for you too, and really, you should just put down the weapons. Let's call the police and get this sorted out. And that's the only reason she's alive today. This happened in 2019, but Ree has just been
sentenced to 10 to 12 years in
prison. Thank you. Yeah, Ree's line was, I've loved you for years. You should have known.
Domestic violence, we are not immune to it.
Well, and there's another story like that in New York of an NYPD officer.
Oh, yes.
Ashley Pubill.
Yes.
Who's been arrested. He and his boyfriend were arguing on the street at 2:50 a.m. Nothing good happens outdoors after midnight. In Queens, and he punched his boyfriend. He's been arrested for assault and harassment.
Yep. In Seattle, or outside of Seattle in Maple Valley, Zoe Rose Martinez, 20 years old, trans woman, murdered, 41st killing of a trans or non-binary person in the United States this year. Zoe was the caretaker of her mother after her mother got COVID. A suspect has been detained.
Zoe's described as a leader in the community, witty, loving. Again, 20 years old, just these enormous losses as these poor women are murdered.
All right, moving along. And before I forget, I have a correction from last week. The lesbians of the Chicago Sky, the WNBA champs, they are indeed the couple, Courtney Vandersloot and Allie Quigley. But the third is not Candace Parker, one of the leaders of the team, but Stephanie Dolson.
Well, then we might as well do Chicago sports. The Chicago Blackhawks ice hockey team is having a scandal. Several of their executives have resigned because it turns out that in 2010, they failed to report one of the coaches who had sexually assaulted one of the players. This is a male coach and a male player. They finally turned up the report of this assault, and then it turns out that this coach had assaulted several other young men in subsequent jobs, and so the Blackhawks are in some turmoil over this.
In Oklahoma, Republican Governor Kevin Stitt is outraged that the State Department of Health issued a birth certificate with a non-binary gender designation in May to an Oregon resident, Kit Lorelide, who was born in Oklahoma. He sued when he was initially refused by the office of the state attorney general reached a settlement with him. The governor said people are created by his God as male or female. He doesn't address intersex. And period. And there is no such thing as non-binary sex. 17 states and D.C. do recognize non-binary genders. Status on identifying documents, a Republican Oklahoma legislator has filed a bill to make male or female the only options on birth certificates.
Oh, tell it to the State Department. Is it possible that the non-binary person who had the birth certificate change should be referred to as they and them?
I don't know. Apologize.
Just trying to get to the corrections before next week.
Okay.
All right. In California, excellent news. Del Martin and Phyllis Lyon have been inducted into the California Hall of Fame.
Great.
Legendary lesbian activists and authors, and the first couple legally married, I think, in California, same-sex couple, and a well-deserved honor.
And out lesbian attorney Robbie Kaplan is back in action after the whole Me Too scandal thing. She's representing folks in the trial of the Unite the Right racist rally organizers down in Charlottesville. That is underway there.
And congratulations to Brian Elner and Jared Olivo. married. Lovely article in the New York Times.
Well, the interesting thing is that Brian, of course, was, you know, one of the, you could say one of the leaders in New York State of getting the marriage bill passed here. But he said, I never thought it was for me. Well, it's for him now.
And an interesting proposal by some members of the city council in New York. They want to have an annual drag laureate competition for the drag laureate for the city.
To boost LGBT business and the city's art scene. The bill's been kicking around for a while. They don't have a date for a vote.
It sounds, I hope it won't become exploitative to have the competition. I hope it'll remain fun. The thing I like most about it is that the position is paid. And God knows there are a lot of people who need the money.
Right. The in Virginia, the elections are underway. It's going to be the voting finishes on Tuesday. So Terry McAuliffe versus Trump Republican Glenn Youngkin. So despite it being a law, Youngkin says he doesn't support same-sex marriage, but it's legally acceptable in Virginia. And as governor, he will support that. But this kind of straddling has him even in the polls. Obama was there and he said, are we still arguing about marriage equality? And Terry posts, so he's not taking a bait here. He's posting, I'm proud to be the first Southern governor to have performed a same-sex marriage. This is a tight election, folks. There's also the whole state legislature up. Get out there and vote.
And as we said, marriage equality may be settled at the moment, but don't think it can't be changed.
Right.
I think people just don't necessarily like Terry McAuliffe so much. I wonder whether a different Democratic candidate would be.
We can have this conversation now, right now. We need people to get to the polls. And, look, elections are about the future. And, we could all have better candidates. But, Joe Biden won. Who could have been more past than that?
It's always a question of relativity in elections. You don't get to.
Or relatives in many cases.
Exactly.
All right.
International.
Yes. In Ghana, the Anglican bishops, led by Archbishop Cyril Kobina Ben Smith, endorsed that draconian legislation to subject anyone who identifies as LGBT to a prison term of up to 5 years. If you go on to advocate for LGBTQ rights, you're subject to a 5 to 10 year prison term. Consensual same-sex acts are already carry a 3 to 5 year penalty. The bishops see LGBTQI people as unrighteous and ungodly, and they cite Leviticus, which they don't do when they eat shellfish and pork. So now the United Kingdom bishops, including the Archbishop of Canterbury, Welby, are begging them to reverse course on this.
Well, this is the long acknowledged and predicted split within the Anglican Church between the progressive Western types and the we would call reactionary African and other area.
This is off the charts.
Well, there's a regional chief, not an Anglican bishop, in Ghana who is threatening to storm Parliament,
yes,
10,000 people, to force passage of the anti-LGBTQ bill.
In London, activists are demanding that Mayor Sadiq Khan, there he is at a Pride march, reform Pride in London for its 50th anniversary next year. Peter Tatchell, our friend who has been to every one of them, and 14 others, they want to get back to the original ideals of Pride. There's a concern that Pride London is getting £100,000 a year and not listening to Black LGBT voices. 12 people resigned from the Community Advisory Board of Pride London due to a culture of bullying. They want a non-commercial event, and Khan has yet to agree to a meeting.
Well, it's not like the mayors of New York City are having anything to do with Reclaim Pride or step away from Heritage of Pride and the commercial parade here.
You met with the cops, though, didn't you? Well, did you get Reclaim Pride going? Didn't you have to meet with the police?
Well, we had a negotiation with them over the route, but that wasn't anything about approving or disapproving anything. Meanwhile, in Peru, a marriage, same-sex marriage bill has been introduced in the Congress there. People are attempting to hold them accountable since they are under mandate from the Inter-American Court on Human Rights to legalize same-sex marriage. A few South American, Central American countries have followed through. Most have not. This is an ongoing battle.
Another small step for a man in Australia. The only active and the first in Australia gay male pro soccer player in the world has come out, Josh Cavallo. He plays in the A-League for Adelaide United. Now, 13 others came out when their playing days were over. Of course, we know about Robbie Rogers in the United States who was out. But, you know, Robbie Rogers was beaten down after he came out and retired.
But he did play as a player.
And Cavallo says he was mentored by Thomas Beattie of the United Kingdom, who was an out player.
Let us not forget how many women professional soccer players around the world are out. Tons.
Correct. But anyway, welcome, Josh. He's got a video online, too.
Yeah. Israel, in Tel Aviv, they are the first city to allow municipal registration of unmarried couples living together, both same-sex and opposite-sex. So Israel does not allow same-sex marriage. This is a step in that direction.
Rainbow Railroad and refugee organizations report that LGBTQ refugees in the Kakuma camp in Kenya are facing unprecedented levels of violence and and stigma. 350 LGBTQ and intersex asylum seekers are trying to get out at that another camp. There are 100,000 refugees from surrounding nations. They go to Kenya. It's not a great place for gay people or for a lot of other things, but it's better than, you know, Uganda and those kinds of nations.
Especially if you're in a refugee camp, that's not where you
are. Yes, Sudan is collapsing at the moment, so there's going to be another big influx. 10,000 people have signed a petition urging Biden to protect LGBTQ Afghans who have had to go underground, as we've told you, to avoid execution.
Meanwhile, in South America, our old pal Bolsonaro, the president of Brazil, just endorsed for re-election by his best friend Donald Trump, has had a video of his removed from Facebook because he went on Facebook to claim that if you get a COVID shot, you could be getting AIDS. People with COVID shots are developing AIDS at a rapid rate. Now, not only is this utter nonsense, but this is the man who is now on the verge of prosecution for murdering hundreds of thousands of his citizens with misinformation about COVID.
The European Court of European Court of Justice is fining Poland 1 million euros a day for failing to suspend a disciplinary chamber in their courts, and which has opened their courts up to tremendous political influence, like in the United States.
Big, big debates going on in Poland about whether or not to secede from the European Union. They don't like the European Union rules, particularly those protecting people's sexual orientation and gender identity. But they're not willing to give up the money yet.
No.
So we'll see where that goes. And congratulations to Laura Cabot, the new mayor of Whitehorse, Yukon, Canada, out lesbian, and will lead a very diverse council there of 4 women, 3 men, 1 Indigenous woman. Congratulations, Laura.
Whitehorse, population 25,086. She's a lawyer, 30-year resident there, and they seem to have a very amicable race for the mayorship.
It's Canada. We're packing our bags. Climate change is going to send us all to Canada very soon.
Okay. All right.
AIDS news.
Well, a once rare flesh-eating STI that causes beefy red ulcers is spreading in the UK. It's been growing a lot since 2016. Donovanosis, which causes thick sores that damage genital tissue. And it's not just transmitted by unprotected sex, but also by rubbing up against each other. And a woman can transmit it to her baby. So, and the long-term treatment is antibiotics and other things needed to cure it.
Doesn't sound good. In Israel, they have changed their blood donation rules so that there is no longer this artificial time period for gay men donating blood of, you know, you can't have had sex for a year or 3 months or whatever, very arbitrary and useless. Now they're going to judge everyone on their risky behavior. So the out gay health minister, Nitzan Horowitz, publicly donated blood to celebrate and demonstrate the new rules and to personify the fact that gay men now can donate blood under the same conditions as everybody else.
I should have said about that that STI that it has been spotted in India, Brazil, and New Guinea, Central Australia, Caribbean, and Southern Africa prior to this, and now it's spreading into the Western world.
Be careful. Don't touch anybody. All right. Entertainment news?
Yeah. So the character of Q in the James Bond films is Q, played by gay Ben Whishaw there. This is in the No Time to Die movie, which is the latest Bond. Bond and Moneypenny arrive at Q's flat to get some help, and they catch him unawares while he's preparing for a date, and he says it's going to be with another man. And then Bond and Moneypenny say, you got to prioritize your job, not your social life. And then the gay line is just dropped.
But that's it. No more mention of Q as gay.
That's well, his name is Q, for God's sakes. But it's much better than the anti-gay and lesbian stereotypes in the old Bond films.
The what films?
The old James Bond films.
Oh, the old Bond. I don't know. Well, yes, but, you know, I'm still happy with Pussy Galore in Goldfinger. I will always treasure that one.
Okay.
Even though she ended up having sex with Bond. But she had quite a harem of women around her for most of the film.
Okay.
Well, our pal Chris Cooper weighs in on the new Marvel film, The Eternals, and says that was a mediocre movie but had a very good gay theme in that.
And we don't know about the sexuality of Reality Winner, do we? But we saw a play about her called Is This a Room? That's the name of the play. It is a verbatim interrogation of Reality Winner by FBI agents, which actually happened, who arrived to execute a search warrant for her leaking of classified info on Russia's interference in our 2016 election. This happened in 2017. We have a picture there. Emily Davis is really terrific as Reality. And then the agents are Pete Simpson and Will Cobbs playing them in Is This a Room?
I think we threw our... there it is. Okay. So what'd you think? We saw this last night.
I was quite absorbed, quite tense watching it, even though you know what happened. She gets sentenced to five... This is not of the play. We know she got sentenced to 5 years. I think it's the most a whistleblower has ever gotten. She leaked the documents to The Intercept. They don't do that. It's just the realness of this acting and the tension over it. Of course, you want to jump up on the stage and say, call a lawyer, don't talk. But they...
Well, yeah, that was disturbing, especially since she's an experienced military member and speaks many languages. And you think, really? You didn't know to say nothing?
This happens in... Come on. They get people to sign false confessions in interrogations.
Well, then the other thing is they describe her in the press materials as being the longest sentence. But Chelsea Manning got 7 years, but that was in a court-martial. So I suspect that's why they're making the distinction. But Chelsea, for leaking classified material, was sentenced to 7 years and was in Leavenworth for a very long time, being horribly mistreated as a trans woman whose gender identity was not acknowledged. So let's not forget Chelsea. Now,
I'm sorry I called that out of order because I saw the Lehman Trilogy, which I'd seen in London, but this time it was with Simon Russell Beale and Adam Godley. And now Adrian Lester there on the right has replaced Ben Miles, who's back in London doing a Wolf Hall play. What it is for me is brilliant theatrical storytelling. It's an Italian play directed by Sam Mendes that is a quintessentially American immigrant story of capitalist growth and greed that ends up in a crash, as you know, in 2008. So it extends from the mid-19th century to 2008. It's a family story, and the three actors play all the roles. It was a business born of the cotton fields amid slavery in Alabama that ends in the unbridled world of finance in New York. And it's sort of a rumination on our beginnings and our ends.
I saw the original production here at the Park Avenue Armory, a year or two ago. I agree. It was just brilliant theatrically. It's a great production. I thought they were too kind to the Lehman brothers or the Lehman family. I thought they didn't go deep enough on the greed and exploitation, but it's but they do some of that.
That's what happens when you cover 160 years.
Well, get your priorities straight would be my answer to that. But I did enjoy it, and I enjoyed Is This a Room, although I again, it was frustrating that she did not say, I'm not talking to you. But of course, if she'd said that, I guess we wouldn't be in a theater watching it. That Is This a Room, by the way, is going to close in 2 weeks.
And it's running in repertory with Dana H, which was the last play we saw before the shutdown in March of 2020, which is, again, also a verbatim. Well, it's a recording of the playwright's mother talking about life. You know, Lucas Knopf is that playwright.
I wish I, you know, again, that's a fascinating production because the actress mimes the tape
lip syncs.
Yeah, of the mother's monologue. I can't remember whether I liked it. I want to say I did, but
it was too traumatic after that when we were all shut down.
Well, both plays are closing in 2 weeks. So if you want to see either Is This a Room or Dana H, hustle to get those tickets.
All right.
To be in the theater, didn't you think?
Sorry? Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Check back with us in a week and see how we're doing.
There's going to be another chance to go to the theater for free. The memorial service for great out gay playwright Terrence McNally, who died of COVID in March 2020, at the age of 81. On November 1st, Monday, from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Schoenfield Theater, 236 West 45th, open to the public. You got to be vaccinated. You got to wear a mask. Bring your ID. And the Broadway lights will dim for Terrence on Wednesday, November 3rd at 6:30 p.m. at what would have been his 83rd birthday.
Yeah. Terrence was terrific as a human being, let alone a brilliant playwright. Also, you saw a film that you liked.
Yeah, the new Charles Bush, Charles Andrus movie, The Sixth Reel. I thought it was a hoot. It's making the festival route. It was at the New Fest. It's about a down and out folks in Greenwich Village who discover a lost Lon Chaney film in a late friend's closet. That's Julie Halston. It was Charles Bush there on the left, and Julie Halston is especially hilarious there on the left as the late friend's niece working with Charles to sell her uncle's effects. Very nice turns by Andre DeShields, Patrick Page, Margaret Cho, and Tim Daly. It's an all-star cast. So watch for it at film festivals.
Well, it looked like I saw only the trailer. It looked like a farce to me that was.
Julie can.
I went the other way. I saw preview of a documentary that is opening at the Film Forum this weekend on Friday and in L.A. a week from now and then around the country, called Spear Goes to Hollywood. And it's a recreation of a conversation between a young British filmmaker who's working for Stanley Kubrick, who goes to talk to the Nazi architect Albert Speer in 1972, shortly after Speer got out of prison, and they're exploring making a film of his life. So it's a discussion about his life. The young filmmaker has created a script about this, so Speer is discussing the script with him. And the whole 90 minutes is archival footage of Hitler, of Speer, of the Nuremberg trials, of Nazis everywhere, and it is utterly chilling and fascinating.
Where can we see it?
At the Film Forum in New York City starting this weekend, and the filmmakers will be there talking about the film. It opens Friday. They'll be there all weekend talking. And then next weekend, opening November 5th in L.A., at a couple of theaters there, and the filmmakers will be there too, and look for it around the country. Spear Goes to Hollywood. It is it's a real reminder, and quite... It's also the banality of evil. You know, Speer is making excuses for himself all the way through.
He's everybody's favorite Nazi. They acted like he was some sort of a humane figure, but my God.
This bursts that bubble quite effectively.
I know. Netflix is planning a series on Major League Baseball player Glenn Burke, largely out to his Dodger and Athletic teammates, but fell on hard times. Homophobia derailed his career. It's called Outfielder. It's a Ryan Murphy project.
Tommy Lasorda was very mean to him. And Dusty Baker, who's coaching the Houston Astros in the World Series right now, was one of his few friends in baseball. It turns out Jamie Lee Curtis had the rights to this story for 10 years and has been trying to make a film, but is now hooked up with Ryan Murphy to get
all right. Quickly, I saw two very sexy and very good films. Mignon, out now, in release at the IFC Center, set in Brooklyn in 1986. That's Ron Rifkin and Samuel H. Levine, who was such a standout in The Inheritance. It sort of mixes Samuel's, you know, mixing in the Orthodox Jewish world and in the gay world in 1986. It is a very leisurely kind of film with great moments of passion. And I saw this film, Cicada, which opens Friday at the Quad. It's about a bisexual, newly out guy. That's the white guy there. And a less out black man, very sexy, but set against a backdrop of past abuse. That's Matthew Pfeiffer as Ben, Sheldon Brown as Sam, African-American, directed by Pfeiffer and Kieran Malcone. It's a very brave film.
And JoJo Siwa continues to triumph on Dancing with the Stars, tied for first place, another perfect 4-10s this week. She's still going.
Yeah.
So, and we're going, and we will see you next.
Thanks for being with us. See you next week.
Bye.
That's a spam risk.